And I'm sure there's more than one way to spend time with God. But let me bounce a few ideas. If you go to God and you say, yes, Lord, I like that really feels like who I am. Or maybe this I don't like too much. You go with it, all right? Whatever you feel. But I'm telling you what, for me, it feels like I'm going somewhere with God when I read the scriptures systematically. Okay, so every day, I make time to spend time with God. Many people will say the best time is the morning. I actually agree. I don't always get to do it in the morning. But I must say, out of experience, I feel the most refreshed when I get to God first thing. Your day is open before you. You engage in the Word. God speaks to you. He gives you faith. I remember the other day, it was early in the day, and I'm just like, oh, me and Sukunda are planting a church. Doesn't people even want us here? And then I've got all these plans, and I just felt faithless. And even before I started reading the Bible, I just said, Lord, I just need faith today. And I was reading through the book of John, and I came to the chapter in John where Jesus broke the fish and the bread and fed the 5,000. And it's just so simple, but then Jesus just told me again, you just bring your fish and your bread. You put it in my hands, and I will do the miracles with it. And that was the morning, and just my day changed again. I just had faith again. And I walked out of my house, and you know, I also work full time because I play in the Sukunda Rugby Club, right? That is my secular job because I felt I wanted to relate with all of you that works at Sasol and so forth. So I've got a job. It is Thursday and Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7:30. That's where I work. So I have faith, okay? Because I went to the rugby field and there was 45 men. And I didn't know one of them. And something inside of me got excited and I said, you know what? Probably in 2 months' time, I will know each and every one of them on their name. I mean, when last I meet 40 people that I'm going to stand in a circle with, I don't know them now, but I want to know all of them. And I needed that verse that morning where God said, you know, just bring what you just go there. Just put your little talks on and you just go. Okay, Lord. And you know what? The first night I met the coach, he asked me afterwards to pray for the team. I'm like, the words that get spoken on that field, it's like praying in tongues. You haven't heard those words, I promise you. The second night, I met up with the one guy. I studied biokinetics and I'm specialized in high performance. And he said, can we be gym partners? I said, hell yes. No problem. So I've got a gym partner. I didn't know him 2 weeks ago. And I said, that's my workplace. And I need faith for my workplace. Because you know what? It's easy in here. I come here, I tell a joke, you guys laugh. Huh? I say something about Jesus, you say amen. I pray a prayer, you say thank you. I go out there, I pray a prayer, someone laugh at me or throw me with something. Okay? So I'm excited about my workplace and I hope you're excited about yours. I'm going off my sermon here. But let me ask this before I start. Who at times struggled to be intimate with God? Come on, let's just be honest. Basically all the Christians. Okay? And I think probably there's two reasons, but I think mainly one. The one is, it's really going rough and you don't get the time. You're really tired, you can't get up. Okay? I've had that a lot and I still have that a lot. But I think the biggest reason we don't spend time with God is because we're not sure that it's going to benefit us that day. We're not absolutely sure that God's going to come and join with what we're doing there and it's going to change our day. We're not sure of it. Or add to that, we're not sure how to do it. So we just don't do it. Okay? And I remember when I went down to sit to almost prepare this sermon to go intentionally to read through this chapter, Colossians 2. The first emotion that came up to me, and I'm brutally honest here, is I'm not blessed for this. I don't feel excited. There's many reasons for that. Maybe I was a bit familiar with God. Maybe I've done it too much. But I was not excited. And I had to pray at that moment and say, and I said, Holy Spirit, I pray and I ask you, I come with faith that if I sit here and I open my Bible, and I give this time to you that you will come and talk to me. And I have faith for that. And I don't feel like doing it right now. I'm not too emotional about it. But I know this is good for me. I'm going to open this up, and I'm going to eat this like I eat breakfast. And I'm going to trust you. And I started, and everything changed. And then I realized your first battle in being intimate with God is you need to get going. The toughest part is to sit down, open your Bible and says, God, here we go. If you can get to there, you'll go all the way. If you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. That's what the Bible says. And I just realized that again. It's like, okay, Lord. That's what your word says, and it's so true. I want to encourage you. Go with an expectation. Make an announcement in the heaven. Say, God, I'm coming to sit on this chair because I want to draw near to you now. Here's my heart. I'm drawing near to you. You see into my soul and my thoughts, and at the moment I feel far from you. I don't know if this is even going to benefit me, but be still my soul. I'm taking control through my spirit. I've got an expectation. Amen. Amen, Donnie. Amen. Okay. So let's start. Let's read together. I'm just going to pray for a second. Holy Spirit, dear Holy Spirit, you are respected in this place. You are loved in this place. Lord Jesus, you are the only name that we adore and we hold on to. Father, we come to you in the name and the precious blood of Jesus. We have no leg to stand on before you, but we've got the grace to stand on. Blood of Christ, speak to us tonight. Speak to us about our quiet time with you, being intimate with you, but also speak to us through the specific scripture that we're handling. May your will be done in our midst. In the name of Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it verse by verse. I'm not going to do the whole section, go back. I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to stop as I stopped. And I'm going to think aloud as was my thought process that day. Okay? Right, so let me start. In Colossians 2 verse 1. Everyone with me? If you've got your Bible, you can follow your own Bible. Listen, I've got a weapon. I take the quiet time. This thing makes, I cannot do quiet time without this, I promise you. I'm busy with this thing in here and a pen. So this is for free, the tip. You get one of those also, okay. Colossians 2 verse 1, let's go together. For I want you to know how great struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea. And for all who have not seen me face to face. That was what I was reading that morning, right? Now, let me just interrupt myself for a second. Sorry, we're going to get going just now. Many people would say there's a specific formula to come to the presence of God. And probably the best way is to start with
Thanksgiving.
Enter His court with thanksgiving. Works like a bomb. Takes the focus off yourself unto God. So that's what I often do. I come and I start saying, Lord, thank you that I am where I am. Thank you that you put me through university because I said, no, my parents really couldn't afford it. That's true. So God really had to come and put me through it in some other miraculous way. And I started thanking Him, and slowly but surely my heart changed. And when I opened the Word, it's like my heart is receptive. And I'm ready to get this now. But I also have to say, sometimes I can't get the words out of my mouth. I just don't know. I have to discipline myself. So I go to Psalms and I start reading the Word. I just read it. So the David, the psalm writer, can help me with how to praise God, how to give thanks, okay? But whichever way works for you, some people put a CD on and they sing. Other people take a guitar. Some people sing and neighbors close the windows. But whatever way works, God knows your heart, amen? Verse number 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this verse just jumped in my face, like punched me right here. I'm like, okay, let me just read that again. So he said all these big words. He says, your hearts be encouraged, be knit together, love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ. All those things, he lists, talking about understanding, knitting hearts together, all the riches, which is in Christ. He just sums it up. And immediately I see the circle, and everything in this world, everything I can dream of, everything in my heart, everything that's in me by God is contained within this one word. It is in Jesus. Everything I long for, every dream is in Jesus Christ. Everything on the outside intended to distract me. And so this is now 2 minutes in my quiet time, and suddenly, three verses down the line, I'm getting excited. I'm like, okay, 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 Lord, you're speaking to me. And my thoughts just go into different things that often pulls me side to side, and worrying about maybe finances, or maybe you're dreaming about this ideal of a house or a car. There's all these things, and sometimes it's not necessarily bad things, but the enemy just uses them to distract us from God. And once again that morning, God came back and he told me, it's in Jesus Christ. Give your heart back to him. Give your desires to him. Give your soul to him. Pray to him. Lay your anxieties down before him. There's the circle, and everything is in there. All the mysteries, it's in Christ. All the treasures of God is contained within Christ. And there's a peace, because sometimes suddenly everything is just so weird. Jesus be the center. And I thought, oh, close the Bible right here. I can take this day. I got something out of it already. Let me just go on before I get distracted. I say this in order, check this out, that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. I just want to stop for a second, but we're going to get there later again. I'm saying that everything is in Christ. That's what Paul is saying. I'm saying everything is in Christ so that you may not be deceived by plausible arguments, an argument that sounds good. Those arguments normally come out at the workplace, around the bride, when maybe a bit of deception has entered someone. Someone is maybe mad at church, and they start speaking with you, and all these arguments come your way. And Paul's just saying, listen, I'm just reminding you, everything is in Christ. Don't let plausible arguments, stuff that sounds right but it's actually not right, catch you. You pray in your heart, you pray in the spirit, and when you're around people and all this stuff comes to distract you, you must have discernment in your heart. He said, no. You must be able to say to yourself, no, this is not of God. Okay? You must have discernment. All of us must have discernment. We can't just go and be blown and tossed to and fro by the wind. Let's just give them chance to close that door. It makes a horrible noise. I think it's just easy. Walk as Christ did. built up and rooted in him. And then suddenly the Lord just lists all these little things that takes root in my life. Just stuff to distract me. It's little seeds that grows and it kind of grow into my character, into my personality, but it's not from Christ. It says here, walk in Christ, rooted and built up in him. And right there, I can just hit the pause button. Lord, there's a few things in my life that I just realized now. There's little roots of jealousy, roots of bitterness, roots of striving. Why is that pastor doing so good? Why is that pastor preaching so good? Why can that pastor go there? You know, jealousy, I'm just giving examples, maybe for you, a promotion, whatever. And I get a time right now to just take all that roots out. Lord, I take that root of jealousy out of my heart. I take it out. I want to be rooted in Christ. Lord, I take that root of striving out. I want to be rooted in Christ. Lord, that root of anxiety, I take it out now. I've got nothing to be anxious for. I'm in Christ. I want to be rooted in you. Jesus, today, I'm thinking aloud here. As I walk and one of these temptations come my way, stop me. Stop me today. Speak to me. If I make a mistake, help me to turn around and go to that person and say, do you know what? I make a mistake. Please forgive me. That was not right. Just help me to walk in here. Okay? I don't even know if I fathom the full meaning of to walk in Christ, but at least there's something in me that wants to be more like Christ, and I'll go for that. Today. You with me? It's just quiet time, and I don't think it's that difficult. Okay? It's just to get started, like a start. And then this word, just finishing up that sentence, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And right there, the Holy Spirit just spoke in my heart. Vanna, you are saved. You are bought by the blood of Christ. You don't carry your sins anymore. You don't have all these burdens on your shoulders. You've got the privilege of spending time with me. I want, at least, of all the stuff that comes out of your mouth, 90% of it must be thankfulness or thanksgiving. If you understand what your salvation is worth, for eternity and eternity you are with me, you should be thankful. I want less murmuring from you, less second guessing, less letting your thoughts spin around for hours around something, more thanksgiving. Even if it's just for the fact that you're saved. And after you've done that for 50 years, you can start thanking me for your wife and all the other stuff I've given you. But your salvation should be able to fill your mouth at least forever. Amen? The Lord just spoke to me about that. It's quiet time. It's so normal. I read the scriptures. I think about it. I pray about it. Another thing that I thought in my head as I was reading this is that a thanksgiving heart will always precede a joyful life. Being a thankful person will always come before a person will truly be happy. Right? That's why some people have nothing, but they're just happy. They are happy people. They are thankful people. You give them a car, they're happy. You take their car, they're happy. You mess with their wife, they slap you. Okay? Let's become thankful people. Okay? Let's take a bit of my quiet time and throw it to your side. Let's become a thankful congregation. We're thankful for this building. We're not sitting outside. I'm thankful for the leaders here that makes this place happen. Guys, thank you so much. I honor you. Antonio Christel, for the work you've done here. Before we can thank you, we honor you. We've got many things to be thankful for. Is there someone here that sleeps outside? No. Someone's hungry, there's cookies afterwards. Something to be thankful for. Let's be thankful people. Okay? I think the one thing the enemy wants to steal from us is our joy. It is so difficult for a Christian to deliver a message of joy when you're not a joyful person. I'm not saying everything in the Christian life is about happiness. We go through tough stuff. We go through persecution. We will also experience the loss of our parents, brothers or sisters. We also experience life because there's something deep within us. As we go up and down, and it's called joy in God. It's not related to happiness or feeling funny or something. It's something that determines your way of thinking. I'm thankful because Jesus came for me. Everyone with me? Well, that was God's message to me. You can take it or you can leave it, okay? I pray you take it. Let's go on. Verse number 8. I'm just working. You know, in the beginning, I didn't know how to spend time with God. No one showed me, so I went like this. All pass along the way, clap their hands at you. What a scripture. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of, who's the daughter of Jerusalem? Is this city was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? Lamentations. Maybe it gets better. Let me go on. All your enemies rail against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. Lord, what am I reading? Okay? So I prefer to go chapter by chapter so that I know what's going on, alright? Let me just go back to Colossians when stuff makes sense. Right. We're talking about Thanksgiving, right? I laugh a lot in my quiet time, by the way. Mostly at myself. I'm just like, Lord, you must be laughing at me because I'm such a joke. But I laugh with you. Spending time with you, that's what I want to do. And it gets better the longer I go. Now, verse number 8. See to it that no one takes you. Listen up here, please. Listen up with both your ears. See to it, Aaron, addressed to me, that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. See, I don't even have a laptop there. This was my study notes that morning, so I just have this here. Struggling to read my own handwriting. See to it that no one deceive you, take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. I want everyone to put their hands on their ears. Now, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, help me not to have itching ears, searching for weirdness, strangeness. I give my ears to Christ. You know, this is the biggest sin of the charismatics movement. If you go into church history, something weird happened, all the charismatics is there. What's going on here? Drive 400 kilometers. No, people. We must hold on to Christ. We'll get to all the stuff that Christ do through us. But we need to be focused and we need to have discernment. Everything that's weird is not of God. Everything that's strange is not of God. Many things need to be tested by God. Tested in the congregations, by the elders, by the leaders. And then sometimes we must make a verdict. Is this from God or not from God? Let's not just run. Alright? God, that was God's word to me. You can take it or leave it if you want to. You know what philosophy? You know what? I think it's another definition for it is the search for truth. But they never find it. But the claw should be out already. Right? Because Christ is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. And the way, the truth, and the life. But still, the philosophy classes goes on. And the arguments just get stranger and stranger. Christ is and was and forever will be our answer. Every bit of wisdom is in him. And we need to not seek beyond him. Our fullness. Remember verse 3? The mystery, the riches of God, everything contained in Christ. And as He leads, we follow. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Now some of this, let me just read the next verse. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now some of this philosophies, especially in Colossians, was some of the people, some of the Jews and the Pharisees, and what they said is, listen guys, we believe in Christ. What a man. What a savior. But you know what? Let's make super sure. Let's just circumcise these young boys. Let's just make sure, okay? We know Christ is great. Let's make sure that let's just add to Christ circumcision. I'm telling you, to cut the foreskin is not hard. Anyone can do it. But only God can do the circumcision of the heart. And what Paul is saying, forget about all these arguments, all this philosophy. Christ has done enough. Let's stop worrying about adding to Christ the circumcision or the Sabbath, all this stuff. Let's take it as it is, and let's rather render our hearts for circumcision of the heart. And God just spoke to me there, because I find myself often striving also. I need to preach almost weekly, teach you different stuff, and you strive to be the best. And then God is just stopping me and saying, you know what, Daniel? Everything is contained in me. Come to me, let me feed you, and let a sermon flow from you, from a place of you looking to me. When you lead a cell, let it flow from you. Stop striving. Stop trying to add to what I've done. I've done it all. In Him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You know, and the philosophers, they like to come with weird ideas. Weird stuff. Now listen, this is weird enough. A circumcision made without hands. How's that for philosophy? I mean, who can circumcise without hands? Only God. There's a philosophy you can stick to. And it goes on. By putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, Christ separating just our sin from us, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful works of God who raised Him from the dead. Now listen to this. When were you buried with Christ? I don't know. Well, okay, one person says baptism. Anything else? When were you buried with Christ? When were your sins forgiven? Salvation. What is baptism? It's a picture of what happened there, right? So, what Paul is saying, when you gave your heart to Christ, stop talking about circumcision and junk like that. When you gave your heart to Christ, this is what happened to you. We don't know how it worked, but some other way, 2,000 years ago, in today's context, it's like you shoot back 2,000 years ago. Christ takes your sin off you, and He buries it with Himself that day when you got on your knees. And you say, Lord, forgive me right now. Forgive me, Lord. I give my heart to You. And Christ separates your sin from you. You get buried with Him right there. Yes, you go to the baptism waters later, because you say, listen, I'm getting baptized because this is what happened to me. Okay, you can't do the sign first and then the... You say, well, that's why you can't baptize someone before they're saved. It must first happen. You must first be buried with Christ and raised. And then you go and say, hey, this is what happened to me. I was buried with Christ. I'm raised with Christ. And Paul is saying, hey, man, being saved, being in Christ, oh, that is it, guys. That is it. No circumcision. You know, this word is in here as well. Let me just go and we'll get to it right now. I'm going a bit like this because it's my quiet time, right? It's not a sermon. You have been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive and circumcised your heart when you came to Him that day and said, Lord, forgive me. right? Everyone's with me. By cancelling the record of debt that has stood against us with this legal demands, and he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. It's done. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. My God is a hero by triumphing over them. God has done so much. I mean, God has done so much. You know what this section just there taught me? That our belief, our faith is both complex and very simple. Complex. You're talking about your sins being buried on another person, buried with them, raised, circumcision of the heart. That's complex stuff. But guess what? Who does all that stuff? God. The complex stuff, we don't understand. He just do. He does it all. And the simple stuff is up to me. Jesus, here I am. I want to walk as you walked. And something happened within me. It's like massive rewiring, dying, living, baptized, circumcision of the heart. He does it. Following you, I'm following you, I'm following you. I'm reading your word, I'm drinking your milk, I'm following you, forgive me. And it's not so hard. Massive complex, God does it all. And I come and I follow. That's why church and being a Christian should not be so hard. It's easy. You live with your girlfriend, you get saved. It's not complex, you move out. You rent another place. If you said she must come live with you, then you can rent another place. Okay? If you do sin that you're convicted of, it's simple. You just stop. There's nothing complex about it. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's not complex. It's not like we don't know what to do. Just stop it. And follow it, because his worth is so much more. Okay? So through our decisions we make, through the moving out with our girlfriends, to the stopping of a relationship that should not be there, to the stopping of using certain drugs or whatever, we are showing that the worth of Christ, the worth of this circumcision of our hearts, it's just worth so much more than the temporary pleasure of all this stuff I'm doing. So it's not hard. Amen? But we can't do it alone. That's why we're here together. That's why we're putting our hearts together. Many of you would say, when I came in here tonight, I just came out of coming every Sunday. But just now as we started, you can feel the faith rising within you because we're coming together and God is doing something in our midst. Therefore, let no one pass judgment, verse 16, on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festive or a mumu or a new moon or a Sabbath. You see, that's where, what's that? Movie franchise got the theme. What's that thing with the vampires flying around in the air? Twilight, New Moon. Yeah, you see, it comes from the Bible. They steal our stuff. That's the one movie, I think. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels. Check that one, worship of angels. It's forbidden. You guys know that? I hope so. We don't worship angels. We worship only Christ. Going into detail about, it says that no one disqualifies, is insisting on asceticism. Let me stop there. Asceticism. Who knows what that is? Not you. You're behind the computer. Who wants to take a chance? You could say that. Because that's what it's implied, but asceticism is, in a way, it's practically inflicting pain on yourself so that God may love you more. Yeah. So you could attribute it to false humility because now you're gaining trust with God. So you've seen those people that nail themselves to a cross on TV maybe somewhere? That's asceticism. If you hurt yourself, God will love you more. And he will say, it's a lie. Why is the lie? Because Christ has done the hurting. He did the pain for us. All he wants from us is our hearts, not stupid words. We cannot buy it. You know what the people used to do at that time, the Pharisees? They would put stones, little stones in their shoes. And every time they would walk, they would give a step, it would hurt. And they would tell the people, they are so holy because They're inflicting this pain because it's to remind them of God. But Paul says it's unnecessary, man. And still today, don't beat yourself up. Sometimes we think we make a big mistake, so we put ourselves in house arrest. So I'm not going to church because I'm too dirty. I'm not going to small group. I've sinned too much. I must first sort this out. It's the same thing. You need to go to church. Go to the presence of God. So He can wash you, make you clean. Let's run to Him, not from Him. You know, some of the leaders in that time, they even have like sharp objects, like a spell, a needle, right? Like a needle in their belt, poking them the whole day. I mean, what's up with that? And these people were crazy, man. And Paul says, no, man. He has done it all. Just rather obey Him. If you feel you've got, you want to hurt yourself, okay? Just take that energy and say, God, there's energy. I want to obey You. And then you obey Him. Then you rather go and tell someone of the love of Christ than beating your head against a wall. Okay? Isn't that what the guys did with the ladies walking the street, keeping their eyes closed and then hitting a wall? Okay? Now, Christ has done it all. He's done it all for us. Then he goes on and says, the worship of angels, he puts it in the same category. Asceticism, the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions. So we want to talk about Christ, but this person, I've got a vision for you. You must listen to my vision. You must preach about my vision. Because I saw a vision and there was a cow coming up a hill and a UFO smashed it. And the UFO is going to smash this building tonight. If you don't preach about my vision tonight, there's the back door. No, it's about Christ. It's not about your vision. And if we pray there's a vision and we agree that this is from God, we will take it very seriously. We will say, God, we believe You're speaking to us in this vision, and we can see how this vision is bringing glory to Christ, because it's helping us to repent, it's helping us to understand You more, and so we will obey. But many people are more honored or more fond of their vision than of Christ. They've got a message. Now, and Paul is warning us, the message that should be, the main message is Christ and the goodness of Christ in our midst, that He saves us. We are thankful of that. Now, as we find ourselves in Him, we come together and at intercession, when you come to intercession, you will hear a lot about visions, because then the Holy Spirit comes, and upon the rock of Christ, He comes. It's almost like the cherry on the cake. Christ is the most important thing here. And now He comes and He brings us vision. There's a confirmation. He gives us direction. And we obey. We take it back to the cross. We take it back to Scripture every time. That's also why church is so important, because it's hard to get deceived in church. Because the whole time as leaders, we are asking ourselves, are we following God? This new thing that's on the TV, is this from God? That new movie, is that from God? And so we can talk about these things and we can help each other. Okay? That's why we're here. We're almost done. Everyone still awake? Where am I? There we go. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. Who is the head? It's Jesus. From whom the whole body nourished. Okay, you're coming here, guys. I promise you, you'll be nourished here. That's why you're here. Nourished, being knit together as in unity through its joints and ligaments. We come together, we work in synergy. But who is in charge here? Jesus. So when we come together and we pray, and there's many words and visions, we want to see the light. We want to see Christ running through it all. Can't see Christ, we have to pray more about this. Is this from You, Lord? And then, by the best of our ability and submission to God, we make a decision on everything. We say, no, this is not from God, but this is. And in doing that, we're trying to create a safe environment. But also, you have to take it to yourself personally, right? Many times, especially ladies like my wife, or Carla, or she knows that enjoys to pray prophetically, will have a lot of dreams in the evenings. Horrible dreams sometimes, like babies dying and stuff. And we have to take those stuff seriously. We can't ignore it. So what are you going to do with it? So we take it to Christ by sharing it with people we trust and say, listen, I've had this dream 5 times. I'm sure. I mean, it's not like one evening. Can we pray about this and seek the Lord about this? And then God speaks to us. Okay? So we're not ignoring it. In fact, we're embracing the supernatural, but we are taking it from the context of Christ. We're interpreting it from Christ the best we can. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit yourself to regulation? So he's talking again about all those rules that were on the people. Let me just read verse 23. And these have indeed an appearance of wisdom, a promotion of self-made religion and asceticism, there's that word again, and severity of the body, I hurt my body, or I fasted again 5 days. Yes? What about you? No. Okay? But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Now, listen, tonight was a two-edged sword for me. The one was the process of my quiet time, and this is how it goes. This is most of the time. Oh, the Lord also speaks to me about a specific sermon that should happen in church. I just read the Bible, verse by verse. And you know what? As I read it, like even just as I preach through it now, faith gets stirred in me. I get faith for my day. Now, I've said it before also, I think I mentioned to my wife, sometimes when I spend time with God, I just feel I can walk into an interview at any company and just land it. It's just how I feel. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've got God with me. I'm going to go there and be humble, be myself, and enjoy that with God and the rest. Because faith gets stirred. You know, the Bible was written by people with faith. And as we read it, it's like their faith, it rubs off on us. Okay, that's why the Bible speaks of the washing of the word. It's got an effect on us. We read it sometimes, and sometimes when I just open the Bible, I just read. It just washes over me. Something happens when I speak this thing. And I also read it aloud. I read it aloud because I want to hear myself reading. My wife says, yeah. And there's no method. Like my wife, she will sit on the bed, and the bed is not made. And she will sit there. There'll be a Bible. There'll be a book. There'll be some notes here. And she'll just have a glorious time. I can't do that. I sit at a table when I do quiet time. And if the table is dirty, I like first arrange it. Like, I need to have some kind of order in front of me. And then I systematically read. Other times I read something and I'm reminded of a scripture I read maybe a while ago. And then I go and I go to the scripture and I see the link and I pray about it. But I do want to say, sometimes we think that these pastors, they're like reading Greek or Hebrew or something. And then when they're busy in the depth of revelation, they make this Greek connection with Jeremiah, and then they are so holy. No, I can't read Greek, I can't read Hebrew. I can go to the internet and see what the meaning of a word is, but I just read the Bible the way you read it. And then the Lord speaks in my heart. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged by spending time with God. And another thing I also do is I've got this little book, my little shofar diary. One like this. Who really wants one? Who really wants one? Thank you. And I've got my book open next to me. And you know what I do? I sometimes get distracted. So let's say I read the Bible, but I remember something about it. Work. I just take a second and I just write it down. I remember to phone or to SMS Hendrik. Leave it there. Maybe as I'm reading, I'm some of you guys come up in my heart, and I feel I'm a surprise. I just write the name down and leave it there. Okay, and then when I'm done, I go back to my book and I work through my list. Lord, I pray for this person. I must phone this person. And so I give myself the opportunity to stay focused. As I get distracted, especially moms, I mean, you've got a long list, still, 5 kids. Okay, it's a long list. I would just make the list on the side and get back to the word. But that's just my way. But then I just want to comment quickly on the specific section. It's very dear to my heart. I really love it. I want to really say to you guys, Christ is honest to anything. Okay? If you are here tonight, maybe you come here for the first time, I want to say up front, this church is all about Jesus. We're all about the saving work. We have no leg to stand on except that Christ came for us. And to the best of our ability, we want to make disciples. And for us, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus and tries to live like Him. So that's why I did what I do tonight, because it's important for me that a disciple can have a relationship with the Word. I believe strongly if I've got 3 days with someone, I will teach them how to read the Word like we did tonight. I will sit next to them and I will help them to pray. I believe if you can read the Bible and you can pray, and we only have 3 days, that's the best. That's what I can do for you. And so in this church, we do our best to help you have a relationship with Jesus. We also said in the beginning of the year, what's important for us is that you get the right seat on the bus. What that means is, if you've got a specific gift, you've got a heart for something, we want to help you grow in your calling. You are not here to help me fulfill my calling. You are here to follow God. And in some way, God, the Holy Spirit, will put us together. Okay? So that's why you can come to me and say, listen, this is my heart, this is what I want to do. I feel strongly about this. If you've got a big heart and you've got lots of dreams, we're going to ask you to become a member first. Because that's just the order of things. Okay? But it's awesome to have everyone here. It's awesome to see what the Lord is doing amongst us. And even tonight, the Lord wants to touch some of us. Let's just stand as we finish off tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for everyone standing under the sound of my voice, Lord. And I know, Father, that every person that's here was here for a reason, Lord. To meet with you and to, Lord, you are just to have hope again with the intimacy with you. Especially us men, Lord. We're not as animated as the ladies, Lord, but you have your way of relating with us in a deep way. I want to pray for the men first, Lord. Men, can we just lift our hands to God? Just a men in the house. Lord, I want to pray for every man under the sound of my voice. Thank you that you will show them how to have an intimate relationship with you. Thank you for the leaders in this house, Lord. Thank you for every man with their hands raised, Lord. They have a calling. And you are equipping the men in this house to be leaders in the workplace, leaders in their families, to lead themselves well. Thank you for this week, Lord, that amazing things are going to happen between you and the men of the church. Ladies, can we put up our hands? My wife's going to pray for us.
So Lord, I'm going to pray for the ladies, Lord, not because I get it right, Lord, but because I need your help, Lord, and all of us too, Lord. And I pray that we will fall in love with you, Jesus. I pray that we will do everything we do and want to do for you out of a place of love and intimacy. And I pray that we will not be Marthas, we will not strive, we will not try to please you in anything that we do, Lord. We will first be Mary, washing your feet, and loving you. I just pray for our times to be special, Lord, and I pray that we will have diligence, Lord, to push through. Amen.
Let's just keep our eyes closed. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you that you're doing your work amongst us. And I pray that you will draw people to the Father tonight as you please. In our midst. And as we keep our eyes closed, I want to just make an invitation. And we're going to do this every week because we are a church that believe in standing for what we believe. So often we will invite someone to come to the front. And we don't pray for you there where you sit. We ask you to come to the front because we want you to exercise, to stand up. Okay? I want to make an invitation. The biggest invitation of the evening. I don't know all of you. I know some of you. But if you are here tonight, and through the message the Lord has been speaking to you, the Holy Spirit has been whispering in your heart. It's almost like God is drawing you closer because you know what? You've never stopped and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe you are the Son of God, the King of Kings. If you have never given up your life, then tonight this is the most important thing in your life. And that is why I'm here. That's why there's a band. That's why there's people worshiping. Because we all at some stage came to Christ. He said, Lord, I cannot go one step further on my own. I want you to save me. So that you tonight, if you say tonight is my night, I don't even know why I came to this church. I don't even know how I got here. But now I'm here. And this guy's irritating me because I can feel my heart beating. And then that's the Lord speaking to you. If there's someone like that tonight, I want you not to be shy and put your hand up very high and say, Jesus, tonight, I want you to save me. Tonight, I want to start a relationship with you. I'm just going to give 20 seconds for that. If there's any person that wants to give their heart to the Lord tonight, then you are a guest. And I want to ask, if you just want to, tonight, when I was talking about just stopping for a second, if you want to stop tonight and just say, Lord, time out. I've been going in a direction and I just need to stop for a second and then redirect my relationship with you. Okay? Then I want you to be bold. Just come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to lift up your hand. If you just want to stop tonight, then I want you to come. I don't want you to pray in your chair, but that I want you to come because it requires faith. Okay? So can I ask some small group leaders and some facilitators to be in the front? And then you come and you say to one of these facilitators, tonight I just bring my relationship with God. I want to consecrate it back to Him. Okay? Because that's what tonight is about. It's about being intimate with God. Also, if you feel that you're really doing your best, you waking up and spending time with God, but it's like this jazz, not a connection. It's like you feel like you're missing something. I want you to come to the front of the prayer. Okay? We're going to worship this song and then please respond. Please come to the front and come for prayer. Also, if you've got any other prayer need, you're welcome to come to me. Okay? Amen.